twice. The young people can go to Sunday school class, and us adults will stand here for the adult Sunday school class. Our lesson this morning is our response to this lesson book's a little bit messed up, I think. I'm not really sure how to decipher this thing here. But our lesson this morning is about the demon-possessed man of the Gadarenes. And the context of it is Luke 8, 26 through 39. And I don't really understand this book here. But if it be so, our golden text is, take heed therefore how ye hear. Whosoever hath to him. That sounds like a lesson we just did not too long ago. Yeah, is your Sunday school book accurate? I mean, mine's missing some pages.
You got a page in the front. I don't have it either. It's in the front. And it tells you to move that page over.
Well, what's the golden text?
No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other.
All right.
Serve God and mammon. That's Luke 8, 26 through 39.
All right. I don't have that. And it's kind of hard to study the lesson, but I've got it. It still don't have it on there.
It's the other side.
Look, it ain't on there. People before property.
That's it.
Luke 16:13. Yeah. All right. A blind man can see with glasses. All right. No man can serve two masters, and there are a lot of people doing this, and it is true today. And what happens when you try to serve two masters is you're always in a strait. That means you either lean this way or lean that way. And that's why the Lord said in the first commandment, thou shalt have another gods before me. And some people are guilty of that problem. And the Bible said the love of this world is at enmity with God. And says no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate Mine says hat. The one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's Luke 16:13. All right. The lesson aim is to show the importance of a human soul. And this lesson does a good job of bringing that out. If you don't have a Sunday school book, you can open up your Bible to Luke chapter number 8. That's the context of this lesson here. It's Luke 8:26-39. And it takes place over in Gadara. And this demon-possessed man, he come out of the Gadarenes. It's pronounced Gadarenes. And he had a legion of demons. And a legion is the largest division in the Roman army. That's where that number comes from, and it's actually a miniature army, able to function as an army. And the number differs as to how many, but it's somewhere around 2,000. And it's used here to indicate that this man was possessed by a complete force of demons rather than one or two like they are today. I know y'all don't think demon possession goes on today. And let me just give you some something to consider. I've never been to a rock concert. What I've seen has been on TV. But when they get to playing that stuff, you know, and beating on them drums, and then people start doing their head like this right here, bobbing their head up and down and holding up them satanic signs and running and leaping and all kind of stuff there, that's an indicator that the devil's there and he's taking possession. Now, some of the stuff I could mention about these rock and roll concerts, you may not realize this, but they actually tell those people to pledge allegiance to Satan. Go ahead there, Molly.
I was looking at one of the legions, and it told me 6,000, and it said that they don't have
to have
space to get anything at all.
That's right. Yeah, you know, alcohol is a spirit. And there are a lot of spirits. There are clean, unclean spirits. There are holy and unholy spirits. Like she said, that's probably more accurate than the 2,000. The Sunday school book brought out 2,000, but I was of the persuasion that it actually was more than that. But this man was completely possessed by demons. I mean, he was in a state that no one could help him. No one could hold him. No one could heal him. And the lesson takes place on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee. And in that area, there's a group of 10 cities known as Decapolis. And there was a mixture of Greeks, Syrians, Arabs, Jews. Gadarai was one of these cities in this area, and it was located on the road to Damascus. Y'all remember somebody else been on the road to Damascus? Paul. At that time, he was Saul before he became Paul. But it kind of tells you a little bit about the area. And the most interesting thing about the Gadara city was its tombs, and they were carved out of limestone rock. And this demon-possessed man, he's got the tokens of insanity. One thing about someone that's demon-possessed is they don't function like you and me. Someone that's demon-possessed is not in control. Matter of fact, one of the verses said that he was driven of the devil. And I preached a message one time, don't let the devil do the driving. And I do believe a lot of people have possibly done that. And I want you to know, if you let the devil do the driving, he'll put you on a dead-end street. And you'll find out, buddy, you made a terrible mistake when you turned the wheel over to him. But this man had all the tokens of insanity. He was cutting himself with stones. Now today they do it with more elaborate means. They use, you know, knives. They use, you know, lancelets. I mean, they're a little bit more civilized than this man. And we don't really put much attention to someone, you know, using some kind of sacred knife, bloodletting, all that stuff. But this man, he was totally insane, and he cut himself with stones. He'd been bound in fetters and chains, and he just broke them asunder. But also, you got the demon-possessed man. You got also the swine that were destroyed in this lesson. And you got also the redeemed man, which is the best part of this lesson. But in the destroying of the swine, you'll find out how the people catered more to profit and more to this thing that was forbidden. They had more regard to these swine than they did this man. And there's a testimony given in here, and I thought it was really good. And it said a believer was on his way to a prayer meeting, and his testimony was this right here. He said, on my way here tonight, he said, I met a man who asked me where I was going. And I said, I'm going to a prayer meeting. And he said, there are many good religions, and I think most of them are just delusions as to the Christian religion that's only a notion, a mere notion. And the Christian religion, I said to him, stranger, you see that tavern over there? And he said, yes, sir, I see it. He said, do you see me? He said, yes, I see you. He said, now the time was that everybody in this town knew that if I had a quarter of a dollar in my pocket, that I would not pass that tavern without going in and getting drunk or getting a drink. And all the people of Jefferson could not keep me out of that place. But since then, God has changed my heart, and the Lord Jesus Christ has took care of that thirst for strong drink. And there is, my whole week's wages used to be spent, and I have no more temptation to go there. And stranger, if this is a notion, I want to tell you that it's a mighty powerful notion. It's a notion that has now put clothes on my children's back. It's a notion that has put food on our table. It's a notion that's filled my mouth with thanksgiving and praise to God. And that was Dr. Tillmidge that gave that testimony. But in this lesson here, there's a lot of practical things that we can take benefit from. In this lesson, you got also the selfish Gadarenes. This man possessed with demons at the leave of Jesus, and they did obtain permission, at the leave of Jesus, these devils besought Jesus that He would let them enter into this herd of swine. And by doing so, a terrible illustration of the intolerableness of hell is manifested. They'd rather go in these swine than go into hell. They said, "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" But obtaining permission, they went into this swine, and the whole number of them, which was about 2,000, ran into the sea, and the Bible does mention they ran violently. Notice that. Then in verse 33, can you imagine hogs being violently? That's the difference that the devil makes. That's why we got so much violence today. That's why there was so much violence in Genesis chapter 6. Let me tell you, when the devil comes on, you'll find yourself getting violent. Well, these hogs, no different than you and I, they ran violently down into the sea. They were destroyed. A lot of people are destroyed because they gave place to the devil. And these Gadarenes, they were selfish. They could care less about the man. They cared more about the hogs. That's about where it is today. I don't know if you know this much or not, but they don't mind a bit aborting babies, but let some animal get hurt or get in the ice water, and they'll spend king's ransoms to go out there and try to rescue that horse or that dog or whatever. And it's sad because we become that so desensitized that we've lost all reason to the fact that we don't value men's souls and we value the creature more than our God. But this man that was delivered, he's the grateful man. And every heart which the Savior sets free is grateful. I know I am. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," and I can't say it enough. But the Lord told him to go home to his friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for him. And every man is to be a living preacher, a living epistle of the Redeemer, a witness, an ambassador for Christ. He's no longer a slave of darkness or of evil spirits, but he's been set free, and he's to bear witness of that mighty deliverance, of that one that found him and broke the fetters which had bound him. And now he's clothed with the garments of praise, and now he's going out, and the world takes note that there's been a difference. And I'll tell you, some more so than others, but in all there does need to be a difference. Our life needs to have influence. And if we live unchristian lives, we fall away of ministry, which some might be saved if we'd live right. I do believe in living right. The lesson concluded, and I know this is kind of last at first, but I thought it was good. The lesson concluded with this thought. Maybe this man's children looking through the window see a man coming up, and they say, "Mother, there's a man coming." And the mother springs up to look and sees that it's her husband and runs to the door and closes it and tells the children to lock every window and every door. "Your father's a maniac." And they close all of the openings of the house and shriek in fear. And then the children say, "Mother, if it's father, mother, father used to be bound. This man's walking. Father used to come shrieking. And this man's coming at home quietly." And the mother says, "Keep still. It still might be your father." You can almost hear their hearts beating when there's a hand on the latch and it does not yield. And finally there's a knock at the door, but they do not answer. And then they hear a voice that they've not heard in years. And it's the voice of her husband when he asked her to be his wife. The voice that he used when God gave them their first child. They hear him say, "Mary, open the door and let me come in. I've been with Jesus." Boy, every home deserves that. And she springs up and runs to the door and opens it wide and welcomes him in, and they bring heaven into their home. Listen, one reason our homes have become such a hellhole is because we don't give the Lord the proper place that He needs in every home. But this lesson brought out this man somewhere had, made a mistake. And I think a lot of people do make mistakes. But let's start here, Luke 8:26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And verse 27 said, when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. The sad state of this man is obvious. This man, boy, he's nothing but tormented. And he's raving. He's naked. He's bleeding. Fierce and furious because he had these devils. These policemen now have been trained in the area of demonology. And y'all may not know all this, but when old Rodney King was beaten, the night that he was beaten, that they burned, I think, Chicago down or wherever it was, but he was on PCP. And they'd sprayed him with mace and they'd beat him with nightsticks and tried to put handcuffs on him, but he could not be subdued. They tried every effort. And all that you seen was just that one when they got him down and frailed him real good with nightsticks, but he felt it not. And that's a good illustration of demon possession. He was possessed with his PCP. And our policemen have to be trained how to deal with this. I don't know how much y'all keep up with this, but they're constantly finding people running down the streets with no clothes on, out of control. And I mean, they just eat the faces of people and everything else because they're full of devils. But this man had devils, agents of Satan, and they were controlling him and possessing him and indwelling in him, and it goes on even today. And this poor creature, only hope he had was standing in front of him, the Lord Jesus. And boy, his life was a mess, bondage manifested, could not be subdued. He'd been fettered. But Satan, you know, he's cruelly lording over him. And the only thing he knows to do is cry out. Then the cry goes forth from him for redemption. A glimpse of hope is manifested when he meets Jesus. Now, I don't know who all is in bondage. I know one thing, buddy. The Bible said the Lord came to set the captive free. And I remember the day He set me free. And this boy, it's a wonderful day. But this man lived in tombs. His abode was places of desolation and ruin. If you give place to the devil, you'll lose everything you got.
Right.
The Bible talks about at the last, it stings like an adder.
Right.
It's a bitter end. Reason it's so bitter is because you knew better. Reason it's bitter is because it didn't have to be that way. When you finally, like Ecclesiastes, you see the conclusion of the whole matter, and you see you ain't got nobody blamed for you but for yourself. Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard, and some people never learn. But I will tell you one thing, you give place to the devil and he'll do his job, buddy. This man here is a pitiful example of what Satan can do with a man. They won't listen. But verse 28, when he saw Jesus, glory to God, that's worth shouting right there. I'm glad Jesus had come to us. He cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice, I know we ain't supposed to get loud, I do, we ain't supposed to. But with a loud voice, he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. The words here spoken were a mixture between the man and the demons. The demons didn't want to be tormented, but the man's the one crying out. And the combination of the speech hearers of the two. When he said, I beseech thee, torment me not, the true devilish spirit is speaking. But when he cried out and fell down before him, that's the language of this man wanting help. Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had called him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Sometimes the bond of sin is not visible to the eye. Other times it is. I watch the news a lot. And I see the sad commentary of people that sin had its way with them. Made shipwreck. here they are holding up their sign, their mug shots being taken, and they thought, you know, that they could enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, but it wasn't very long. Now they're paying the price. It's a bitter price to pay. But sometimes the bonds of sin are not visible to the eye. But he was never free. He's a picture of every sinner. Maybe you're here this morning and think, that don't apply to me. Let me tell you something. If you're not saved, you're in bondage. Let me tell you something. The devil's got you on strings like a puppet. He's telling you what you can do, what you can't do. He's telling you, buddy, everything that you don't even realize that he's in control. But I'm glad, praise God, Molly, he's got to go to Jesus before he can do anything with me. He's got to get permission. And if the Lord does think I'm material enough to show the world that I can withstand the devil, like Paul said, stand against the wiles of the devil, then he'll have a little permission, and I'll show y'all, buddy, that I do have the armor of God on. Amen.
Amen.
But why the world, boy, fell victims? Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. There's a lot of people through ignorance give place to the devil. But verse 30, Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. A legion consists of as many as 2,000 soldiers. And it could be more. Molly mentioned 6,000. And it didn't really have a definite number. But it is a complete army. They're able to function as an army. In Ephesians 4:27 tells us, neither give place to the devil. But when a man does give place to the devil, his will ends up being more a slave of passions and lust. The devil loves it. He knows what to put on the hook. I'll tell you one thing, buddy. I know what I'm talking about. Then, and it ends up the man being completely possessed. It don't start. They tell me you put a frog in a pan of water and turn the temperature up real slow, and the frog will just stay in it till you cook him completely. But if you put him in a pan of hot water, he'll jump right out. The devil knows what he's doing. But how do we give place to the devil? Well, we've got this eye gate. That's one way we can give place to the devil. The Bible said in Psalms 101, verse 3, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now, we've come a long way. I mean, we've got texting now, and sexting, and internet pornography, and child pornography. We've got, you know, homosexuals just breathing down our neck, wanting to be turned loose. I've got a little booklet I picked up last night over at Bethel. And I told my pastor I'd like to get some more copies of it because it really does do a good job of putting out how ugly and ungodly homosexuality is. There's a lot of statistics in there that people don't know, and I do believe people have been misinformed about homosexuality. I read that book written by Hugh Powell, and I'd like to get some more copies of it. If I get them, they'll be stacked up back on that table. They'll be in every restroom of every filling station I stop to get gas, and everywhere I can leave one, because I'll tell you what, I believe the more informed we are, the more we'll understand how abominable and how ungodly it is. But that eye gate, matter of fact, some of these bank heists that you hear about, just tell you a little bit about what's in that booklet, was because of the president of the bank had some friends, and he'd spent a lot of money, $2 million, and he didn't know how he was going to pay the bill of all this money he'd spent buying all these things for his homosexual buddies. So he just had a bank heist to try to cover it up. But I promise you this, you won't cover sin up. It'll cover you up. Amen. But anyway, the eye gate. I'll set no wicked thing before my eye. Ain't it amazing? We got all these toys and trinkets. My wife called me this morning wanting to get one of them little note things for the granddaughter. And I'm sitting there thinking, she don't need that. She needs a Bible. But you know, we get preoccupied. I don't even know how to text. If you send me a text, I wouldn't know how to even open it. I don't know how. I don't. My wife does. I don't know how to Facebook. I don't know much of nothing. I know I'm saved. That's a good thing to know. But see, when you got people preoccupied, I was listening to Ron Ralph preach this morning. He said, y'all are here this morning. And he said, some of you don't want to be here. Some of you, if you knew nothing to be said, he said, you wouldn't be here. But he said, I'm glad you are here. But we get preoccupied in these things. You know, we're texting, we're talking. Then the devil, you know, he loves that. Because see, he's stealing you away for just a minute from what you really need. And he keeps you occupied. And you end up being like him. And the Bible said the devil goes to and fro in the earth. I wonder why he's doing that. I'll tell you why. Because he can't rest. Man, I slept last night like a baby. Loved it. Amen. Bible said he giveth his beloved sleep. And man, it's wonderful to be able to rest. Lay down, pillow your head, and know all you can do is wake up in heaven. Amen. But I'll tell you what, some of this stuff, the eye gate, is the way the devil can get in. Melvin was telling me the other day that somehow or another he was on his TV trying to go to that cowboy channel that he watches. I've been over there, it's a good channel, but he said as he was going to it, he just got flashed. And that's what they want. They want to flash. These are wardrobe malfunctions. There's more to them, I guess, than meets the eye. But that's what they want to do. They want to smear you through the eye gate, but also the ear gate. I got two eyes and two ears. Then the Bible said in Proverbs 19:27, it says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err." Well, I got two eyes to let the devil in. I got two ears to let the devil in, but also I got two feet. These feet used to go to places they shouldn't have went. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I'm telling you, buddy, and these feet used to lead me to sinful places. The Bible says make straight paths for your feet in Hebrews 12:13. And I'll tell you what, that ear gate, I've seen people that let, you know, the devil in through that ear gate, and man, they sit there and man, they couldn't stop twitching and beating, and man, they're bobbing their head like it right there, just completely out of control, don't even know it. Oh me, what a lesson. But don't give no place. You'll become a slave to the devil. You'll become possessed. And verse 31, they besought him that he would command them to go out into the deep. Jesus had power to command devils and demons, and they knew it. And they pleaded that they would not be sent to hell. And the Bible said, verse 32, there was there, no one claims possession of these hogs. They just happened to be there. I mean, they were commanded to abstain from pork, but you know, for some reason, none of these hogs just happened to be there. Nobody knew who they were. No one laid claim to them. They were just there. You know how that stuff goes. But there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. He gave them leave to do so. Ain't that something the devil's had to ask? Then verse 33, then went the devils out of the man, glory to God, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. They committed hogicide, I guess. And it's funny, we call the word suicide. My grandfather used to raise hog. He'd go out there, suey! They'd come around and he'd slop them. But they run down there and committed suicide. But the question has often been asked, especially among agnostics and those who bitterly oppose the truthfulness of the gospel, whether the Lord did not sin against the owners of these swine by destroying their property. And Dr. G. Campbell Morgan summed this entire situation up with this insight. He said, so far as I'm concerned, the matter needs no debate. The fact that he did it is its justification. And I never questioned anything that Jesus did, but let me ask you something. Don't the Bible say all souls belong to me? The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. He don't have to ask no one's permission. Matter of fact, if he want to take Eddie Wade out today, he could do it, and I'd be glad to leave. I'll be honest with you. I've had it up to here with sin. I'm getting sick of it. I don't like to hear about it. I don't like to see it. It's getting more predominant. It's not going to get worse. I mean, not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled. They fed them, but nobody knows who they belong to. They fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And the whole city seems to have some interest in these swine. Not in Jesus, nor in this possessed man. In verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Man, that must have been a terrifying sight to see a man delivered from demon possession, clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Man, that'd scare anybody to death. Good Lord, let's not let our children get to Jesus. He might mess them up. Only safe place I know is Jesus. I'll tell you what, you build all of the barracks, all of the razor wire, get all the armed guard, get the National Guard, get the Army, get the tanks, get the missiles. There's still only one safe place I know. It's Jesus. Amen. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, Anita. You know why? Because he sought to be near him. He's got now admiring love and regard for this one that set him free. And he's clothed. Insane people like this man did often tear their clothing off. When they're in the right mind, they put them on. I don't know what in the world's going on, but I wish people put more clothes on. But anyway, people in their right mind properly clothe themselves. They refuse to obey and serve the devil. But also here, there's a meeting of two different kingdoms. The darkness and the light, hate and love, measure and peace are manifested. The wild man now is clothed and he's at the feet of his deliverer. Meek and calm as a weaned child, we have in this man's history evidence of the capacity of an immoral being that sinks to the depths of misery and sin. And you look, after he's met Jesus, look at the difference. The sad life of this miserable man, the inner conflict that went on inside, is all changed after he met Jesus. His outward physical condition is now different. His inward reformation is now manifested. And it ought to be the result of everyone that's met Jesus. In every case where a soul is truly brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus, the love of God, there ought to be some kind of token. There ought to be some. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'll tell you what, I remember the new Eddie Wade. Amen. After I got up from kneeling down a lost man on my way to hell and asking the Lord to forgive me and save me, I remember the difference in me. Man, my mama called me fanatic, rightly so. My daddy said, I'm scared of you, son. I don't want what you got. But I'll tell you what, he finally did change his mind. I guess some of them wished he'd done it sooner. Amen. But they also, verse 36, which saw it, told them by what means he was possessed of the devils, was healed. Man, ain't no missing it. I mean, nobody could do for this man what Jesus did. But they testified unconsciously to this event. And you know, they said this Jesus is the one that's helped this man. Verse 37, then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them. You remember that bunch that wanted to crucify Jesus? They said, away with him, away with him. And that's what's wrong today. People want to get rid of Jesus. Man, the thing that's needed most, they shun. Separation of church and state. Carolyn, a man this week I heard on the news, gave a student in his class a Bible because the student asked him where certain places were in the Bible and he was a Gideon. Matter of fact, it had been too long. They passed out Bibles over at the college where I went and I got a box full of them, brought them over here, gave Luke and several of the boys here at the church some of those Bibles. But you can't do that now. But this man gave this boy this Bible because he asked for it and hired. He lost his job because he done that. That's what we're down to, see. See, they want to get rid of this one that's needed. They besought Jesus that he would depart from them.
Brother Wade, last night we went to the Emmaus reunion, and the guy that was directing and talking, he was telling us about this man coming up to him. He made mad when he was talking about those killings of all them children. And he said, I've got a qualm with God. He said, why would God allow that to happen?
And he said,
ain't it amazing? We blame God.
He said, it came out of my mouth before I thought. He said, I said, the school system and everybody that had anything to do with it put God out of that building long ago.
All the protection.
Before any of this ever.
All the peace.
And, you know, because...
Why don't somebody blame the devil? The Bible said the devil come to kill, to steal, and destroy. Why don't he ever get any blame? Why do they charge God foolishly? After we've made a terrible mistake, like she said, took God out, took the protection, the hedge of protection out, and now we're starting to reap what we sow, and we blame God. Well said there, Anita. But the country, they besought him to depart. They were taken with great fear. And he went up again into the ship and returned back. Ain't that sad that the Lord was asked to leave and left? The Gadarenes, they had no sympathy for this demonic man. Their interest is manifested in their selfish gain, that they felt like they were at a loss for the loss of these hogs. They expressed no gratitude for the deliverance of this demonic man. They had more regard for the hogs. They regarded him as better off dead than alive. Not like it is today. No one seems to have rejoiced that the man's been delivered and restored. You know, the Bible does say there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. So that does tell me there is some rejoicing over people, getting saved and delivered. Over 99 just persons have no need of repentance. But they were taken with great fear. You know, people that don't know God, and I can say this truthfully because I went through 34 years that I didn't know God like I do today. But Carolyn, I was afraid. I thought God was going to take my life. What I mean is I wouldn't get to do nothing. I thought, you know, if I get saved, I'm not going to get to do the things I want to do. That's a selfish thought, but I did it. I'll be one say, amen, I did it. I had a selfish thought. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it. I didn't want nobody to tell me what to do. You know what, Jesse, after I let the Lord be Lord, those things that I wanted to do, I don't want to do no more, Gail. It's not that I can't do them. I don't want to do them. Man, I've done got into something better than all that junk. Amen? Man, I'm seeking those good things, the good things of God. But you know, I like these gatherings. I had a fear. I had a fear that I wasn't going to get to live the life I wanted to live if I let the Lord be Lord. Man, I'm like Paul. Now the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Man, it's a blessed life. It's a more abundant life. I was dead in trespasses and sins. But just like them, I had a fear. I thought, man, I'm not going to get to do all the fun things. Man, I was missing out on fun things, Anita.
By the way, you know, the kids have said at different times of the year, Andrew and Jesse, some of the other kids will ask, you know, you don't get to do this, or you don't get to do that. Despite what kind of parent we are, they were saved, you know, when they were young.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say things like that, and I've heard them at different times tell them, you don't understand.
That's right.
They have Sunday down here with, you know, Granny Margaret and going over to her house and having Easter egg hunts and different things, even when they were small. And even now, you know, they'll testify and tell.
That's good.
How they can...
That's good, yes.
And how good it is to fellowship,
yeah.
And all the good food and all the fun and the laughing and the jokes, and that it ain't about something stale and you having to go inside of a building.
Why?
They, you know, they tell other kids that, and you know, that blesses my heart when I hear them say it, because they're sitting there running down or making fun of them because they're doing something for God.
Yeah.
When they're out there and the other kids are drinking or doing drugs or whatever.
See, the Bible said that God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, and the dividends of God outweigh the trinkets and treasures of this world. But these Gadarenes, they concluded that the loss of these swine or these worldly goods were a greater loss than the gain of this man that got delivered, that was tormented by devils. And they had more value in the swine than they did him. They had more value in making a profit than the poisoned mind and souls that even today desire that Jesus would depart. Listen, I've been around, boys. I've been around. Go out Walmart, mention the name Jesus. Do it. I stopped at a rest area. No soliciting allowed. I thought I had a First Amendment right. Free speech. They told me I couldn't talk about Jesus in that rest area. I went ahead and did it anyway. That's the kind of trouble I don't mind. I don't mind that kind of trouble. Now back when I was driving drunk and put one hand on my eye and clean this ditch out a while, clean that ditch out a while, that's the kind of trouble that, you know, I have to admit I didn't want to get in. But this kind of trouble I don't mind. This kind of trouble, buddy, I'll tell you what, it's a good trouble. It's one of them, like that Acts 16, they got to singing and rejoicing, and an earthquake came and the jails opened up and the jailer slid in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It's the right kind of trouble.
We were out at Walmart Christmas, and this man came out. He was a manager. He's going around and helping everybody. And when he got done helping us, he said, "Everybody have a blessed Christmas." He didn't say Merry Christmas or
Happy Holiday. Good.
Happy. A blessed Christmas.
Well, it's good, Charlotte. I wish the world could learn its lesson. Because I'll tell you what, the Bible said that in Jesus we live and move and have our being. You're not going to get too far without Jesus. But they were more mindful of profit than they were of this man. And they'd rather make money even if it costs morals. I don't know if you know it or not, but they underwrite in your will. Now, they've overthrown Proposition 8, which said, you said, "I want marriage between one man and one woman." Well, they've undermined that. They got a federal judge, and he threw it out. Even though you voted unanimously, we don't want these same-sex unions. Well, they just throw it out. They undermined you. Morals, go ahead.
Not quite yet. They're trying to send the Supreme Court, and it will be voted on sometime in June.
Well, promise you this, they're already setting up for it. They started out this year at midnight already marrying because they already know more about this. They bought these. They got these lobbies going there with just handfuls of money, and just like these Gadarenes, they slop in these trolls. They want this money. But listen, the morals have been put aside for the money. And I'm telling you, buddy, the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. It'll bring this country down. It'll bring all the countries down. But the demon of drink, the owners of saloons, and all those connected with the liquor business, they don't want to have their business interfered with Jesus or churches. And they're willing to ruin souls and transform men into demons and women into demons in order to make money. It's kind of like what this is right here. It's sad. When the Lord's got so much to offer. Man, I'm telling you, He satisfied my thirst, Brother Melvin. Man, I had an awful thirst. I thirsted after the bottle and after the can and after the drink. But I'll tell you what, buddy, I thirst after the things of God. Now I'm like the hart that panteth after the brook. I thirst, my soul thirsteth after God. But look here, I'll be quick. I know it's been long. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things that Jesus had done unto him. Here's this man is. I mean, he just got delivered. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. And all he wants is more Jesus. You know them disciples up on that Mount of Transfiguration? They said, "Boy, this is a good place to be. Let's stay up here." But there was work that needed to be done. And how similar these situations are. They saw Jesus in His transfigured, glorified body. And Peter said, "Boy, this is a good place to be." It is a good place to be, but there's work to be done. We got to work while it's day, William. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Appreciate the testimony you gave me this morning. But we got to work. And to do the work, we got to go out. Me and Brother Melvin, we go out in the hedges and highways. We don't always have success, but we still go. But this man here, the Lord, he said, "Buddy, I want you to stay right here. I want you to work the work." And his first duty was to home and friends. And no one knew better about this man than his own family. There could be no question about the change that had taken place. And Jesus here also, listen, Brother Howard, he showed compassion on these that wanted him to leave. He sent them a missionary that they might by some means save some. You know, they may not want it, but they need it. They may not want the gospel, but they need it. And the Lord had compassion by leaving this man back. He could have took him with him, but he had compassion on those that rejected him, and he left a witness among them to be a missionary. There he was so well known. Now he's got a far more noble calling to tell what great things. And the Bible said he went his way with gladness. His will was lost in Christ, and with joy and gladness he went forth and published abroad what great things the Lord had done for him. And pardoned souls are many times called to give forth testimony. And I like to hear good testimony, buddy. Testify what the Lord's done. Don't ever say, Brother Eddie don't like testimony. I'll shut up. I know I'm world worse for talking, but I'll tell you what, you get something on your heart, you wipe tears with one hand, hold your hand up the other hand, I'll shut up. I promise you I will. I like good testimony. I think we'll do more of it. I like to have one of them services where, man, we just let it, for lack of a better word, we don't hold back, we let it go, amen.
Hey, you
want
to go with Jesus,
didn't you? Yeah, he did. Man,
I didn't
take it. Amen. Bless you, Brother Marilyn. You're talking about more than a close encounter. He had extreme makeover. Boy, there wasn't no missing it with this man. I mean, man, he went from one extreme to the other.
Amen.
Man, what a testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Boy, some of us, we're like that. You know, we're a testimony of the saving grace of our Savior. All right. God bless you. Brother James, you want to come up here and help us this morning? Let me turn this thing off here.